T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Atop the San Francisco skyline, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Welcome to this hour. We got an awful lot for you. Scott Bear is going to join us talking about the Raiders. We'll even recap the season just a little bit with him and talk about the offseason beyond the stadium issue that obviously is a big focus of the last couple shows that we've done and will be. Oh, again, for the next year, as long as this still continues to remain an issue. And that's my biggest disappointment from yesterday. No conclusion. Welcome to limbo. Enjoy your stay. Purgatory doesn't end in any direction. Before we get back into it, let me real quickly say hello to my friend Jen, who is driving around with an Uber driver. Oh, pardon me. Lyft driver.
Gotta get it straight.
Hans, thanks for listening. Hans is a fan of the show.
Hans.
He's so hot right now. Thank you very much, Hans.
Is his middle name Solo?
I don't know if it is. He doesn't make it at the end of the movie. I know that much. Thank you very much for listening. Jen, good to see you. Let's do brunch soon. Let's see. Scott Bear's coming up like I told you. I wanted to assign a little blame. Actually, you know, people say, damn it, all you do is assign blame. You going to take any blame ever for anything? Yeah, when I do something wrong, I'll take the blame. Sure, I'll stand up and say I'm a part of it. Do you want to be blamed for NFL relocation? I'm about to blame all of us a little bit. You know, you can blame greed and you can blame money, and that really is at the center of everything here. There's no doubt in my mind that making more money in Los Angeles is the epicenter of why this is happening. But why is that now a possibility? Think about it. Fantasy football. Fantasy football is as much to blame for NFL relocation as anything else. Fantasy football's changed the focus from the game that we used to watch, which was about one team beating another team, which was already a national brand. Now you follow football more than you did 5-8 years ago. Admit it. The way you watch football on a Sunday now is wildly different than when you were a teenager.
Oh, definitely.
Unless you were just 19 last year and now you're 20 and that was just teenager was last year to you. 20 years ago, if you were watching football, you sat down on your couch, you watched the game in front of you. You did not have access to any game you wanted. You basically had to eat whatever you were served by the TV network. And you watched the game. Period. Beginning and end of story. You weren't involved in the game. You weren't dependent on not just the score of that game, unless you had a little action on it, but the individual performances of that game never meant more than what the collective team did. Fantasy's changed everything. And we now follow not just football, but especially football because of the fantasy impact. We follow football so much differently now than we did just 10 years ago. The way we watch football, the way we now use social media, it's so much different than when the Rams left Los Angeles back in 1994. It's so different now. 1994 wasn't that long ago, but in terms of how his media exploded since 1994, it might as well have been 400 years ago. In terms of the progress and the difference between the two times, TV revenue is now the trunk that all NFL flowers grow on. All of it, all of the blooms come off of the trunk of the TV deal and TV revenue. It is the lifeblood of this entire league. Well, why is TV revenue up like never before? Well, it's because every week the NFL now puts the same attention on week 6 as you used to get in playoffs and in some instances Super Bowls. Every Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday in the NFL now. A Week 7 matchup between the Chiefs and Jaguars on a Thursday night gets the same amount of attention thrown at it that an NFL title game used to get. A Thursday night game between middling teams has 35 cameras and a 20 million tune-in. You know what we used to do when we would watch a game and a team was up by 3 touchdowns with 6 minutes to play? You went out and you did something. The game was over. You had something to do. You had another game to watch. And so you got out of there by the time it was done. Fantasy holds the audience more than anything else in the history of sports. You stick around to the end of your work day because by it being your work day, you got money on the line. Well, fantasy is money, or at least bragging rights. And you got that on the line, so you stick around to its completion. When I was 18, nobody stuck around on a 3-touchdown game with 4 minutes to play. It didn't matter if wide receiver X had 10 more yards receiving today. I'll be able to beat my buddy and brag about it in homeroom tomorrow. That wasn't even a reality for us. The revenue through TV is up like never before. Thanks to fantasy, the profits are bigger than ever before. Your hold on a media market now means more than ever before. And the NFL is the number one television show on 5 different networks. What Stan Kroenke just proposed is basically a football stadium right next to Universal Studios. The NFL gets its brand new college campus now, not just a stadium. Oh, and the guy's got a checkbook that's going to pay for the whole thing right off the rip. Money up front. Fantasy football has changed the landscape of this league as much as any rule change, as much as any team relocating, as much as anything. We are living in a different world, and the NFL is adapting to it faster than we are. I'm not assigning blame. I'm not saying one is ruining the other. We're just going by the reality that we're all standing in. I'm not a hater of fantasy football in any way, shape, or form. I play too. It holds an audience like never before, which means money is up like never before, which means TV revenue and TV markets mean more than ever. If the NFL could pave concrete over seats in a stadium and get a bigger deal, get more revenue with that, they would. It's all about money. I was listening to London Papa today, and Papa was talking about how he was happy that the NFL acknowledged the tradition of the Rams being in L.A., and he thought that that had a little bit to do with it. Look, in fantasy land, I wish that had a little bit to do with it, but let's just go ahead and change checkbooks for a minute. Let's say Dean Spanos has the biggest checkbook at the table. Well, it's the Chargers going to L.A. today, not the Rams with all their tradition and their history. I mean, it's a nice story to tell. It's a nice part of the sale. But the truth is, the only reason why the Rams are going isn't because they played there in the 40s. It's because this guy's got money for days. That's it. Let's go to Tony in Fremont. How are you, Tony? What do you got? Tony not there? Okay. Mike in Danville. How are you, Mike?
Hey, David. What's going on? Hey, listen, you are right on the money here, and I'm really enjoying your perspective here. I just want to give you a quick analogy and take my the feedback off the air. But as I listen to this, you know, debacle yesterday and how it's unfolding and the money that's being thrown around here, and to see the NFL offer up $1 million, which really in the grand scheme of things is like my kids having this lemonade stand and watching a Range Rover come up to give them $1 and they want their 50 cents back. You know? I mean,
yeah.
$100 million is nothing.
Right. You're officially driving a keep the change automobile. Conduct business accordingly. Would you please?
Absolutely. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much. Jeez. You know what just dawned on me?
What's that?
In the Nissan and Porsche, I'm driving the Keep the Change automobile now, too.
Yeah.
Damn
you
it.
You can't ask for change.
I can't ask for that lemonade stand change anymore. 888-9-
I can. In my Hyundai.
I think you get a free lemonade with every Hyundai, don't you?
Yes, and good gas mileage. Just saying.
Get better gas mileage in the Nissan and Porsche than you think, Gianna. I just
you probably
want to put that
do.
Out
you
there,
probably
by the way.
Do.
We've got more of your calls coming up. Scott Bear, Raider Insider, right around the corner. Stay tuned for what he's got to say about the optionless Raiders. Oh, no. Tons of options. Is it no options? Or is the world your oyster? Or is this oyster warm and inedible? I don't even know. I have no idea. I just know that if we had to... If we had to turn all these teams into Miss Universe pageants, there's no doubt St. Louis is the Philippines. Dean Spanos and the San Diego Chargers are Miss Columbia. That makes the Raiders the chick that nobody's talking about that finished third. I think she was from the United States, though. So go USA.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. We're back with the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Well, we came in third.
What is your hope?
To get a stadium for the Raiders, a home for the Raiders.
Where?
Well, we initially were trying to get something done in Oakland. That didn't pan out. We made a commitment to try to get to Los Angeles. That didn't happen for us. We're third on the list. You know, if there's an option, if the Chargers don't accept the...
Option
to be the second team, then that goes to the Raiders to be the second team. But in the meantime, we're going to look for a home.
Well, at least he actually said the word Oakland in that soundbite, which is more than you actually got out of the Raiders last night in his soundbite or in their 64-word press release coming out of the meetings in Houston. Scott Bear, Raider Insider for CSN Bay Area. He was in Houston all over this, and he's good enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. Thanks a lot, Scott. Have you had the chance to talk to anybody in the Raiders front office, brass, PR? Hell, you could talk to security or parking lot manager for all I could say. Have you been able to get reaction from anyone other than Mark Davis on this?
Yeah, and they were definitely disappointed with the way things went down. They walked into Tuesday's meeting pretty confident in their Carson plan, and they really thought that after the LA committee recommended Carson, that was going to be a way to kind of carry that project through to the finish line. And really, when they switched to a secret ballot, I think we all kind of saw that NFL owners care a lot more about money than sentiment. They ended up going with Inglewood. So it was a surprise that they were sort of ready for. They were also kind of hoping to get a king's ransom if they were the team that had to withdraw, and I don't think we can say that they got that.
Not even close. $100 million is not impressive in the world of the NFL. You and me, it's a life changer. World of the NFL, it really doesn't even get the Raiders that much further to solving a single issue that they'd have here or anywhere based on the money that Mark Davis needs. They pay their commissioner $44 million. What the hell's $100?
Yeah, it's not very much, and I think the most difficult part about it for the Raiders is that there was a lot of talk about this golden parachute that obviously had some holes in it, and really, not only is it just $100 million, but that $100 million has an expiration date. Unless there is a stadium plan submitted to the league by January of next year, that $100 million goes away. And it can only be used in their home market, which is sort of an incentive for them to stay here. But as you and I and everybody who's listening knows, they are not $100 million away from building a stadium in the East Bay. So that creates a problem. And I think what you're hearing out of Mark Davis not saying Oakland and really finally admitting what he never admitted during the long lead up to this LA part. Libby Schaff and Mark Davis played nice, said everything was going fine and talks were going well. Well, talks have definitely hit a snag here, and there's frustration from the Raiders end that they won't be able to get over this hump, and $100 million is definitely not going to do it.
Besides, and we're talking with Scott Baer from CSN Bay Area, besides the money falling out of the skies and solving all of our problems, kind of like the way Gianna and I are going to hit the Powerball tonight and be $1 billion richer by tomorrow morning. Outside of that, what is the first step either Oakland has to take with the Raiders or the Raiders need to take with Oakland to start handing some olive branches out here and get back to a negotiating table, which was dysfunctional or may not have even existed in the first place?
Yeah, Mark Davis said it yesterday, and several people off the record had mentioned that to me as well, that yes, it is about money, but it's also about land. And I don't have the exact specs in front of me right now, but the amount of land on the Coliseum site that the city of Oakland is offering is not what the Raiders want in order to develop and use that for further revenue. And there's a lot of problems with their initial discussions. We haven't even hit formal negotiations, and I think that could be the type of olive branch just to say, hey, here's a valuable piece of property that doesn't come from our general fund, doesn't come necessarily directly from our taxpayers, but hopefully can at least get the ball rolling, sponsor some goodwill, and get things moving in the right direction. Because we can throw out, you and I can say, a San Antonio and Portland and San Diego and any other leveraged ploy that we want to throw out there, and it's out there. And the Raiders are exploring other options. There's no doubt about that. That's not just smoke. But I think when it comes down to it, we all know that this is his best chance to get something done, and I think that they just have to get that process started here, because you look around, it's not like there's a bunch of NFL cities just absolutely begging to give a bunch of money away and have those corporate revenue streams that Mark Davis is looking for with the amount of liquid cash that he has to contribute. That's why I think, despite the fact that he's frustrated, despite the fact that he's going to look hard at San Diego, I do think looking inward is still the best option.
Yeah, and I'll tell you right now, if he thinks San Diego is going to open up its arms for a team it's never been home to, the way that they refuse to hug the Chargers, the team that's always called that city home, I think he's delusional. Plus, if you just want to talk about, like, are you good or bad at business, for him to try to be the third NFL team in Southern California instead of the second team now in Los Angeles is bad for business. I mean, San Diego's not going to need a team if there's two teams sitting in Los Angeles. So I don't think that's realistic. I also think that St. Louis basically told the NFL, we're all done with you today. Doesn't this really leave San Antonio's overtures as the only leverage Mark has?
Yeah, I still think he's going to play up San Diego, and I still think that they're going to look hard at it, and they're going to cite the years between 1982 and 1994 when L.A. had two teams and the Chargers were still a functional entity. San Antonio, I don't know. If you look at one of those Facebook diagrams about which parts of the country like which team, the Oakland Raiders have the L.A.-ish Inland Empire area, the East Bay area, and Oregon. I don't see a lot of Texas in silver and black. That's definitely cowboy country. And when you look at Bob McNair and Jerry Jones, who just flexed their biceps pretty hard yesterday getting that Inglewood project up and running, you think they're going to allow anybody to walk in and plant a pup tent in their backyard? I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know about that either. And we're talking with Scott Baer from CSN Bay Area. Before you came here, you worked covering the Chargers down in San Diego. Do you think Stan Kroenke swallows his pride, and even though he's been denied the orchard, he still takes the apple that, Dean Spanos still takes the apple from Kroenke and joins him in L.A.?
I think they have to, because to your point earlier, that three teams in Southern California could be difficult, and being the third team in Southern California could be difficult. Just imagine if Dean Spanos works hard to get a deal in San Diego, which therefore exercises the Raiders' option to go to L.A., in which case they would put just married signs and cans on the back of their car as they drove south. then you would have the Rams, which have 50 years of history in Los Angeles. Then you have the Raiders, who have a huge fan base in the entire Southland. And you have the Chargers, who are claiming but have never shown their books not a single time to back up their claim that 25% of their business comes from Orange, Los Angeles, and Riverside counties. They would lose that 25%. They would cut their market down. in favor of two teams that, frankly, are a little better on the roster right now and a whole lot more popular in that area, that doesn't make any sense. And even if this isn't the sweetheart deal that Dean Spanos was working out with Bob Iger and Mark Davis and Carson, and it may not be ideal, it may be something that does have to get worked out. I'm sure you've been looking at your Twitter timeline and about the framework of a possible deal between the Chargers and the Rams working already. One thing I can tell you, talking to some people associated with the San Diego Chargers, is they started working on this, discussing this hours after the vote last night in Houston. So they're going to explore this option. They ain't stupid, you know, and they understand that even the public money that could come from San Diego in the tune of $350 million still has to pass a vote, and there's no guarantee that's going to happen. Why would you pass up a guarantee when you have something more solid, even if it's not ideal, in whatever they're calling it now, NFL's Disneyland?
Let's shock every listener and actually ask you a football question. What is Reggie's top priority besides basically flushing all but three or four guys on his defense and replacing a whole lot of bodies with better bodies? Let's talk about position of need. Where is the greatest position of need? Obviously, the correct answer is cornerback. Continue.
So they need one, two, maybe they need three of them. And they're going to have to replace Charles Woodson. And so, yes, the entire secondary. But I'm thinking about the fact that they could use a Bobby Wagner clone playing that inside linebacker spot, somebody with great speed, somebody like that Raglan kid out of Alabama, quick plays on the inside. I think they need a thumper to really own that defense now that Woodson's gone, a real true field general. That's what I'd go with in free agency, or even better, Mike Backer. You might be able to get a pretty good one, maybe even the very best one at number 14. So outside the secondary, Mike Backer, and then interior lineman, and, you know, every other safety position.
Yeah, I tell you, offensively, I think the team's pretty darn well set up. I like the line. I like the quarterback. I like the weapons. I need a compliment for Latavius Murray, who I thought maybe led the NFL in unfair criticism, certainly led the AFC West in unfair criticism this season.
Yeah, and Murray's the type to, he's very, he's his own worst critic, and he takes all that to heart. And I love the fact that after the season, he said, that didn't feel like a 1,000-yard season because I don't think I came through for my team enough. So he's critical of himself already, and I think it's because he felt the weight of the entire running game in the second half of the year, the weight of the entire offense on his shoulders. If I don't produce, if I ever put the ball on the ground, we're in huge trouble. And I think if you give him some help, maybe somebody, a bruiser who can run low to the ground and opposite physical stature to wear them down, then his breakaway speed really becomes even more valuable than it was early in games last year.
Are you worried about CSN bringing in someone opposite of your physical stature at any time?
Well, there's a lot of guys taller than me, so, you know, I mean, if they brought in Andrew Bogut, I'd be really concerned, yeah.
Think how charming the accent would go across, though, during Raider reports. That Australian accent, it's tough to deny. Scott, thanks a lot, buddy. Really appreciate your time this afternoon.
All right, thanks, Dan.
Thank you very much. He's not short. He might not be a skyscraper guy, but I never...
consider him short.
I never walked around and thought, that guy could be a little bit taller. Jeez. Like, I never know.
I've never met him in person, so I can't.
We are always our own worst critics, are
That's
we
true.
Not? We see the flaws that no one else would see. Except for me, I pretty much see the flaws in everything, which is why I'm the prick assigned to host this show. I hope you enjoy that. 888-957-9570. Guest free the rest of the way. We got a lot of people who've been incredibly patient on hold. We're coming to you next here on The Damon Bruce Show.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. We're back with The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
I know a lot of people over in the East Bay probably feel like the bad news just doesn't stop or the good news never officially arrives. Well, Susan Slusser is going to change all that for you. 7 minutes ago, Susan tweeted, As she mentioned earlier, the A's have signed Yonder Alonso to a one-year, $2.65 million deal. The team has confirmed the signing, and I think it's time we just start planning that parade route right now. Yonder Alonso's an A, everyone.
Woo!
Yonder Alonso. If you're wondering where his fan section is, it's easy. It's out yonder. Now, I just made that up on the spot. You give me a full season to have fun with Yonder Alonso. Now, let me just tell you right now. I feel like the show just got a new best friend.
Yep.
Where is he? Is he near you? No, he's out yonder. Yonder? Yonder Alonso. Very exciting.
Well, he was already an A. They actually just avoided arbitration by agreeing to the deal. I think they traded for him a couple days ago.
This is phenomenal.
This is great news.
Where do I get my authentic Alonso jersey? Sign me up for two of them. I'm going to need a home and an away.
Don't forget the alternate.
Don't forget the alternate gold. Are they going to rock alternate gold again, or are they going to go to green this year? You should pull back. You bring back the green pullovers, man. Those were dope. All right, we got to move on. We got to move on to a lot of people who've been very patient. Needless to say, the Yonder Alonso hotline is just exploding right now. A lot of people want to talk about this. Let's go to Derek in Arizona. How are you, Derek? We're going to have you on first based on alphabetical states on people on hold.
Thanks, David. How you doing? Big fan of the show.
Thank you.
I'm a big Niners fan. I'm sitting here. I got the Hugh Jackson interview muted right here. I'm super frustrated with the way this organization's handling this process and the way they've handled the last year. I know you beat up Trent Baalke a lot, and he deservedly so. He should get that. But if I'm a candidate and a serious candidate and I have options, I sit down in that interview with Jed and Trent, the first question I would ask is Trent, and we've talked about his draft picks, you've talked about him, but the one draft pick that still boggles my mind is last year with everybody that retired and left, he takes a punter in the fifth round. Now, David, don't most punters go undrafted and they sign as undrafted free agents?
Yeah, look, you know, if I'm sitting down, the last thing I'm worried about is the punter. And that is not my question. And let's be totally honest. Draft picks are crapshoots. Sometimes you roll that seven and you're done. Sometimes you control the table for a while and you get on a hot streak and you're doing well at the draft. But every draft is a crapshoot, and the most sure-looking prospect in the world is turning to bust. Tom Brady was drafted in the sixth round. It's an inexact science. My biggest question would be, hi, I'm Coach X. I know coaching, which is why you're interviewing me right now. Why in God's name would you hire a guy that I know, or did you fire a guy that I know can coach in Jim Harbaugh? Like, you know, coaches recognize who's good at what they do. Every single coach will tell you Jim Harbaugh is great at his job. Why did you just hire someone that all my colleagues agree is great at his job? Why'd you fire him? That would be my question.
Yeah, and I'm sure Jim, based on the picks that Trent made when he was there, I'm sure had a lot of questions. But my point with the punter is why did he even take a punter? Why not?
Well, here's the thing, and the punter sucks. You know, yeah. I mean, he's a lousy punter. Exactly. So there you go. Yeah, I mean, he did it because he's Trent. He can do whatever he wants. Remember that? Remember the arrogance that this team used to conduct its business with? It was swagger when Harbaugh was saying it. The minute he left, it became arrogance. Right now, here you go. Here's your main question. Who wants to coach the 49ers? The answer, nobody. Not yet, anyways. Tim's in Danville. How are you, Tim?
Hi, David. Good. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
You know, I spent a lot of money with club seats at Levi Stadium. I'm out $40,000 plus $7,000 a year. And, you know, I'm not certain I got the shorter end of the stick when I see what's going on with Mark Davis. And, you know, I feel horrible for the Raider fan. But my point is, how in the world are we talking about the different stadiums outside of Oakland? Why aren't we on the radio saying, you know, this guy has the nerve. after 14 years, 15 years of having a winning record, the fans stuck by him, and he's willing to just screw everybody for money. The fans aren't complaining about, you know, the stadium in Oakland. He just wants more money. So I just think it's horrible. And why aren't you know, the fans getting out there and saying, you know, you go to L.A., go, and just you talking about it, willing to do that to the fans.
Right, a new stadium. Right, a new stadium is more of a want than it is a need. It really is.
But he's willing to walk away from Oakland, and you know, he said he has no allegiance to Oakland. What about his fans?
Oh, he doesn't care. He doesn't care. The same way Jed doesn't really care. They just want to sell the tickets. They don't care who buys the tickets, whether it be local fans, loyal fans, generational fans, or tourists here for the weekend. As long as the ticket sells, it's all that matters. It's it. It's all. It's all. It's all it is. There's no loyalty anymore, brother. It's just, you got to know that. It's the stuff that they'll print on a shirt and they'll put on a bumper sticker and they'll ask you to buy that. But there's no real concern of rewarding these long loyal fans with anything. That doesn't happen anymore.
I just think it's really bad. And I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you very much. I don't mean to be the Debbie Downer of your question, but the truth is, here's the deal. I'm not even going to pick on him by name, but, you know, Dr. Death, the face painter. I mean, this guy has drank so much Kool-Aid, he's got like Stockholm Syndrome, or what do you call it when you start having sympathy for your kidnapper? That's the most diehard Raider fans. You're looking at Mark Davis is some sort of victim, sympathetic figure who's been tossed about by powers that be that don't respect him or get the greatness of the Raiders the way you understand it. Meanwhile, while you're painting your face and you're gluing spiky styrofoam onto used shoulder pads, wearing Darth Vader helmets to a game, while you're doing that, Mark is already more concerned about doing business elsewhere with someone new than continuing business with you ever again. And every single action that went into the Carson proposal signaled that. Me bringing it up to you had so many of you calling me a hater. Damon, you're always so negative. No, I'm not always so negative. I'm just dialed into observable reality. Do you realize that if Mark Davis had the same sort of commitment and effort and investment in Oakland to find the solution here that he did down in Carson, you know how much further they would be to finding a solution here? That's what I'm saying. They're not even going back to square one now that LA is off the table. There is no square one. They never even got to square one with the city of Oakland. They're still at zero. So, what he really needs, the come to Jesus moment of this entire process, has to be this for Mark. I can no longer do this alone. It's time for him to be pragmatic. It's time for him to realize I belong at the $5 table, and I'm sitting in the high roller room. I don't belong here. It's not that I'm not allowed to gamble. I'm just gambling at stakes that I can't afford to keep up with. There's no shame in that. I'm a $5 table player myself. I'm not sitting in the high roller room. And I'm still having fun. I'm still taking care of business, but I know my limitations. If Mark Davis didn't know his limitations, he knows them now. The afterthought, the complete afterthought of the Los Angeles relocation. 888-957-9570. Trey Wingo is going to join us in about 15 minutes. ESPN's host of NFL Live, I'm sure, has an awful lot to say about all this that we're talking about here on the Damon Bruce Show.
Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
All right, we're wrapping up this hour with more of your calls, and then Trey Wingo joins us at 5 o'clock. We've been running to him during dinner. Maybe we can catch him during dessert today. We've got Matt Steinmetz also joining us at 6 o'clock tonight. We're going to get into the Warriors. They have actually got Jason Thompson in their starting lineup tonight. I had no money on Jason Thompson cracking the starting five for a game under any circumstances this year. He will start for Draymond Green, who was a healthy scratch tonight. They're resting him. I told you yesterday I don't like it. Look, I don't have to like everything the Warriors do. I mean, I seriously give that team all the room in the world to do whatever it wants. It's earned the benefit of the doubt. But I'm not going to like ever resting healthy players. I understand the concept of rest. Yes, I get it. Ultimately, if you got to rest them, I'd rather you rest them on the road than at home. You take care of your fans. But I it's way too early in the season to be resting young guys. But if they think it's the right thing to do, who am I to argue? Obviously, what they're doing works. This is Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, give us your accent and all its thickness. How are you?
How's it going, Bruce? Good show.
Thank you.
You got quite a few things. You really percolate everybody's ideas. I want to say something about both teams. It seems like the Bay Area is getting smacked around. I mean, is San Francisco or not? Are they going to be stuck with Chip Kelly and Johnny Manziel?
I don't know if Johnny Manziel's going to be in the picture, but Chip Kelly, right now, that actually sounds pretty good to me.
Right, you go with the younger guy. I mean, Coughlin, just, you know, enjoy the money. He had a good career, but it's just, like, unbelievable the way the foreigners just do everything wrong. They should take the George Costanza. They should do things the opposite of their initial thoughts.
Absolutely. Opposite day is exactly what the Niners need. Real quick, Mitch, what else you got? And make it fast, because no one can understand you but me.
Oh, please. And the Raiders, come on. Just, I mean, look at Wrigley Field, the Fenway Park, the Bears playing on the team. I think they might go to San Diego. That might be the better two stadiums, and they'll be known as the South L.A. Raiders.
Yeah, the South-Southern borderline Mexican Raiders is what they should posture themselves on.
I know South LA sounded better.
San Diego.
You're the boss.
Thank you very much. Mitch, I had absolutely no idea what you said, but we love you. Thank
you
for
the
call.
You're the boss.
You're the boss. Coming from New Jersey, Bruce Springsteen, that means a lot from Mitch.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mitch. Nacho, giving us a call from the highway. What's going on, Nacho?
Yeah, I got 2 points for you, Damon. One, you really think that Chip Kelly is the best option for the 49ers? I personally don't think he would be a viable, you know, selection for us to be the head coach for the 49ers. But I know I wanted your point of view on that.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I think the guy's a little bit of a football genius who maybe got a little too carried away with picking the personnel in Philly and. This guy knows an awful lot about football. I'm not ready to throw him out after one bad year. I think looking at a coach and rendering, well, he has absolutely no idea what he's doing when he, at Oregon, in his first few seasons in Philadelphia, proved to you that he does know an awful lot about this game. I would rather see what Chip Kelly's got than what Tom Coughlin's got left. That's just me.
Yeah, and my other thing is, what if the Niners are waiting for the other coaches to be available, you know, the ones that are in the playoffs still, you know, what about McDaniels or something like that?
Well, that is probably what they're going to turn around and sell to you. And if indeed they are sitting on a coordinator who's still involved in the playoffs, then we understand why they never made the offer to Hugh Jackson. And maybe this will be all digestible when it's said and done. I know that there's a lot of people chapped about Hugh Jackson, but let me be honest with you. I don't know if Hugh Jackson is the perfect guy. I liked him. I thought he should have been the hire. But he's not the only one who will feed you. There's a lot of other guys out there who can prepare a meal. So, OMG in the city. How are you, OMG?
Hey, man, long time no talk to you. Hey, check it out. You know what? I don't think passionate Raider fan understands how volatile this whole money situation is for David. O.co loses money, my friends. It loses money. And for him to lease that place out for another year, he's going to lose more money. He's a small fish in a big pond who got handed, you know, a troubling franchise. It just so happens to start to get better, but it's still not enough. I don't know how Mayor Oakland is going to put up the money to try to help him out and give him a whole new stadium and this set, especially if he's got nowhere to put it.
She's not going to give him any money. We know that. But I hope she can remove some roadblocks that might be standing in the way of him putting the money together. Look, he needs help, okay? He needs deeper pockets than what he's got. And the NFL just told him that. The come to Jesus moment absolutely must be, I can't get this done on my own. I can't get it done on my own here. I'm not allowed to take my business elsewhere. There's not a single Raider fan, if they were interested in making money in the future, who would have gone into business with Mark Davis before they would have gone into business with Stan Kroenke. Stan Kroenke's wife is worth more than Stan Kroenke, and Stan Kroenke's worth $7 billion. And, you know, we talked to JT the Brick. He said, you know, when Al Davis bought into this league, he wasn't a billionaire, but he was a millionaire, and he became a multimillionaire through the NFL. Guess what? The price of admission changes throughout the years. That's the way it goes. What used to be a rich guy is now just a guy. And to me, the most short-sighted thing when Oakland really looks at the Raiders and its own situation, Oakland has no idea what it's going to be like in 20 years from now. I can promise you this, nothing in the Bay Area gets cheaper. Nothing in the Bay Area is losing its value. Nothing in the Bay Area is temporary and then will be wiped away by some sort of catastrophic event. On the day the earthquake hits us and shakes us all down to the studs, we rebuild the next day. No one's going anywhere here. Businesses are booming. Technology is booming. The price of living in San Francisco, the cost of living here, is so much more now than 20 years ago. Oakland could go through that same thing, too. Oakland might look entirely different 20 years from now. The Silicon Valley is being pulled up both sides of San Francisco Bay. If you wanted to, Oakland can be seen as a glass half full. Not half empty. And there are certain investors, there are certain saviors and people who have the best intentions of that city out there who, if Mark Davis can figure out a way to become a consensus builder and have business rally around. See, that's the thing. I think people who have the kind of money to come in and help Mark Davis aren't coming in to help Mark Davis because people with that kind of money don't want to be in business with people like Mark Davis, who the NFL just said holds business up, doesn't get business done. He is real world wealthy. He is NFL world poor. Derek in Pleasanton. How are you, Derek?
It's Dirk, but thanks for taking the call. I really appreciate the just listening to you every night on the way home after BART, man. You got a good knowledge. You speak the truth.
Thanks a
there's
lot.
A lot of things, though, that, well, there's some things. Now, we know that maybe Mark Davis, I love the comparison of the $5 chip because that was pretty good. But I would compare it to that offer of the $100 million from the NFL. That's like a $5 chip being thrown to the Raiders with the money that the NFL makes yearly, okay? You can't help it that if Mark Davis, why would he say anything about Oakland right now when that mayor won't even talk about the Raiders? All she talks about is the A's. And you said earlier he didn't do anything for Oakland. What's Oakland done for the Raiders? They should have already had that land from Alameda County already given to the Raiders to build a stadium. Give the property to the Raiders. That's what they talked about because you got Oakland. The city of Oakland owns the property. Alameda County owns the buildings. So you got to deal with two roadblocks, just like you stated earlier. But what is the guy to do? There's no money around. The only money that he could even, I think,
well, here's
would
the
be
thing.
John Madden. John Madden would be the one to help the Raiders.
No, here's the deal. I'm going to tell you right now. John Madden is NFL poor. I don't care how many hundreds of millions of dollars EA Sports has paid him for his video game. If you've got a few $100 million, bring your welfare, bring your welfare stamps to the owners' meeting if you only have $100 million, a couple $100 million. This is a billionaire boys' club, period. Or it's the widow who inherited the team from the billionaire boy that died. So, you know, you got some old mom and pop shops still remaining. There will never be another mom or pop shop opening up in football ever again. This is the biggest branch of the entertainment industry there is, almost. It is the epicenter of our sporting consciousness in the United States. And the stakes and the rewards are just huge. Huge. Nobody wants anybody who's got, I don't know if I can afford that in this club anymore. You know how Stan Kroenke made 30 years of loyalty to Dean Spanos just vanish? Dean Spanos has been working on his networking connections and his loyalty with NFL owners for 30 or 40 years. Stan Kroenke whipped out his checkbook and that vanished instantly. So, that's what matters. Money talks, Spanos walks. Davis isn't even allowed to travel.
On 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.